In the 1990 movie, Nuns on the Run, Eric Idle and Robbie Coltrane play two gentlemen bank robbers who, while on the run after a heist, nip into the first open door they come to, which happens to be the entrance to an inner city convent. When they realize their pursuers are also in the convent, they put on some habits and pretend to be nuns. Almost immediately, a stern nun appears and orders Brian, Eric Idle's character, to go teach a class of middle school girls. When Brian asks in his falsetto, "What's the topic?" she replies, "The Trinity." This throws Brian into a panic because he has absolutely no religious background whatsoever. Thankfully, his Catholic born and bred sidekick, Charlie, gives Brian a quick lesson on the Trinity using the familiar image of the shamrock to explain how God can be three in one. Fortified by his newfound theological expertise, Brian enters the class and does the best he can until a young girl asks, "But sister, what is God like?" Brian, remembering Charlie's catechism, declares, "Well, God is like a shamrock. Small, green, and that's all you have to know." He then sprints out of the room. It's always challenging to preach on Trinity Sunday, in part because finding good illustrations of the Trinity can be daunting, but also because it's the only Sunday appointed to talk about a doctrine of the church. You won't find the word Trinity used in the Bible, although the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit make frequent appearances in the New Testament. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis relates the following story. "I remember once when I was giving a talk to the Royal Air Force, an old, hard-bitten officer got up and said, 'I've no use for all that stuff. But mind you, I'm a religious man, too. I know there's a God. I've felt him out alone in the desert at night, the tremendous mystery. And that's just why I don't believe all your neat little dogmas and formulas about him. To anyone who's met the real thing, they all seem so petty and pedantic and unreal.'" C.S. Lewis goes on to say that in one sense he agrees with the man, because when we turn from a real experience of God to doctrines about God, we are turning from something real to something less real. He says it's like a man who walks along the beach and then goes and looks at a map of the Atlantic Ocean. He also will be turning from something real to something less real, turning from real waves to a bit of colored paper. However, that colored paper is based on what hundreds of thousands of people have found out by sailing the real Atlantic. In that way, it has behind it countless experiences just as real as the one you could have at the beach, thereby enriching and expanding upon your isolated experience. And if you actually want to get anywhere, you'll need the map. In the same way, doctrines are like maps. If all you ever do is study and learn them, you'll find the Christian life less real and less exciting than the officer in the desert. Doctrines are no substitute for God, but they're necessary. Like a map, they're based on the experiences of hundreds of people who were in touch with God, and they help us move across what would otherwise be uncharted territory. Imagine trying to cross the Atlantic without a map. It would be both dangerous and foolish. So how best to illustrate the doctrine of the Trinity? The shamrock? No. I think the Trinity is more like something I saw on Facebook some time ago. A video of a mother and her son dancing at his wedding. It begins with the typical two-step, then suddenly the music changes and mother and son start dancing to a mashup of tunes from the last six decades. I recognize the distinctive sounds and dance steps to Thriller, The Twist, and Gangnam Style, among others. Mother and son are a joy to watch because they're good dancers, almost perfectly in sync, and so clearly loving each other and the dance itself. Mother and son are my image of God and Jesus. Then there's the bride. She's in the crowd, watching, totally focused on her new husband and mother-in-law. You can see her echoing their moves, laughing and loving every second. All the guests are also laughing and shouting every time the music and the moves change. The bride is like the Holy Spirit, focused on the mother and the son, but in the midst of the community. I don't know what happened after the dance was over, but I would guess that eventually most everyone got up and started dancing. The Trinity, according to C.S. Lewis and Richard Rohr and others, is a dance of loving relationship that we're invited to join. Richard of St. Victor, who died in 1173, said, "For God to be good, God can be one. For God to be loving, God has to be two, because love is always a relationship. For God to be supreme joy and happiness, God has to be three." If no one is present to witness the mother and son dance, it's just a rehearsal. If the bride is there, it's a wedding. Every day, God invites you to join the dance. You might hesitate because you think you're not such a great dancer, or because the choreography is unfamiliar or too complicated to follow. That's why the Son is by your side, to show you the steps. And the Spirit is inside to help you to focus on the Son and inspire you to keep moving. When my son got married several years ago, the family agreed the most joyful moment came at the end while the band played and everyone formed a large circle and danced their hearts out. To me, that was a foretaste of God's great wedding banquet, when we'll all dance together in the loving joy and unity of the Holy Trinity. Amen.